And I'm Danny, and I left MAGA.
Hey guys, Rich coming to you here at Weaving MAGA at weavingmaga.org with the Midas Touch Network. We have a brand new Weaving MAGA testimonial for you today. I want to bring him in. We are joined by Danny Collins, who's here with me in the great state of Florida. Danny, I just want to thank you for coming on and joining us. We really appreciate it. Let's just get right into this. So we've had a chance a little bit to talk about some of your background, but for those watching, take us through a little bit what it was about Trump and the MAGA movement that attracted you to them and what it was about them that made you gravitate to them.
So I grew up in South Florida in a small town, probably about 30 minutes outside of where Mar-a-Lago is actually. And much of my community has always been conservative, kind of Christian, and that was the way I was raised. So what Trump appealed to in me, I went from a little backstory. I went from professional baseball with the Atlanta Braves to being homeless and then spending 10 years in the Florida Department of Corrections. And while in prison, it was the height of the Black Lives Matter movement and Trump campaigning for president. And I remember thinking to myself that the white man is under attack in this country, that Trump kind of spoke to that fear in me that white people were now being blamed for everything. We were being discriminated against. You know, if we're tolerant of every demographic of people, Muslims, Arabs, the Black community, the LGBTQIA plus community. But if you're a white, straight, Christian, conservative man, you're being blamed for everything that's ever happened in this country. And Trump spoke to that fear in me. And that's what made me gravitate towards him, because in my mind, he was anti-establishment. You know, he was going to drain the swamp. He wasn't Republican or Democrat. You know, he was just American. And I believed that. And I wanted to believe that with all of my heart because I was tired of the status quo. I had experienced my own struggles in life with mental health illness and substance abuse disorder and the criminal justice system. And I felt like Trump gets us. You know, he gets the working class, the average American, the person that's grown up in poverty and known struggle and stuff like that. And he spoke to that part of me and made me feel safe and made me feel like that my voice was being heard.
Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, you have a lot of what you're saying, Danny, it's as if I'm listening to my own story, because that was an appeal for me also with Trump, which was that he was an outsider. Yes, he ran as a Republican, but he had no government, no military, no political experience. And I felt like he was the right guy for the job at the time. And he seemed willing and able to obliterate the established political order and start it anew. That's what it was that I wanted, and I felt that he represented that at the time. And that's why I wasn't just a supporter. I was a grassroots activist, and then I got really deep into the MAGA community after the 2016 election up until it took me a year starting in 21 to leave and eventually in 22, which we'll get to that part of your story in a moment. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about your upbringing. Do you feel like, for those who grow up with hardships, who are impoverished, they have familial financial despondency, do you think that those types of individuals, and in your case yourself, that you were more susceptible to being taken in by Trump and all the MAGA influencers or MAGA media?
Absolutely. And you got to think, at this time, there was this big movement, we call it the woke mob is what MAGA would love to call it. And especially when you hear terms like white fragility and you hear terms like white privilege. And I'm like, well, how could I have privilege when I grew up in poverty? You know, I knew struggle. My parents weren't rich. We lived paycheck to paycheck. But it was because I was so poorly educated. I didn't have the information. I didn't even understand what privilege meant at that time. You know, that I didn't understand that. You know, it had nothing to do with the amount of money I had or didn't have, but everything to do with white people being the standard in this country, particularly white men. So like, that was another part that, you know, Trump spoke to, was that, you know, he was going to get rid of all this woke ideology, and that he's going to stand up for us. And, you know, growing up in poverty, getting the whitewashing of history, you don't really learn, you know, I didn't learn anything outside of my echo chamber. And outside of my little bubble of my community. And it was unfortunate that it took me literally going to prison and having an experience there to kind of see things in a different light. But my story was much like yours. It was around like 2021, the end of 2021, 2022, that I really made that shift out of MAGA. But, you know, up to that point, it was Trump was, you know, against the status quo. And you hear all the other propaganda like, well, Trump's he's not even going to take a paycheck. He already has money. He's just doing this because for love of the country and that he's a real patriot, and not realizing that his empire was falling and that he needed people like us, you know, the poor people who were susceptible to this propaganda to save his empire, really save. He used us as pawns in order to save himself. But I couldn't see it then, you know, then you're just so caught up in it. You're desperate. And you just want to believe that something different is going to happen, you know, in this country.
Thank you again for sharing that. So let's talk about some of the reasons why, what were some of the reasons where the cracks started to show? You know, so well, some of what caused you to start to doubt and then eventually led you on the pathway to leaving?
Well, the big thing for me was that, you know, as a conservative my whole life, I believed that, you know, systemic racism didn't exist. And I was fortunate to meet somebody when I was incarcerated that was sentenced to prison at the age of 16. And he was a Black Muslim. I was a white Christian. And we both got sentenced out of the same community. And he was sentenced to 20 years in prison, followed by 10 years probation. And him and I became best friends in prison. But one of the things I would tell him is that Trump's going to save this country. He's going to make it better for all of us. And, you know, and it's time that, you know, Black people get off the Democrat plantation, because we're always taught that, you know, as white Americans, that Black people are enslaved by the Democratic Party. And so, like, I was telling him all this and building a friendship with him. And I was like, you know, stop being the victim. You need to accept personal accountability for your actions. These are the choices that you made and the consequences to our choices that we're responsible for why we're in prison. And he said, well, that's easy for you to say. He said, but when that judge sentenced you, he looked at you as the all-American boy, the ex-professional baseball player, a person that's gone to college, and he probably even saw his son in you. And you had 14 felonies. You went to prison and back home twice before I ever got out once for one felony at the age of 16. And he said, you know, I accept personal accountability for my actions. But he said, when that judge sentenced me, he saw me as just another Black kid lost in the system. He saw me as a savage, a thug, a criminal, inherently evil and violent. And if you start thinking about some of the language that Trump used to describe immigrants at that time, especially Mexican immigrants, calling them rapists and criminals and thugs. And, you know, like, it was a lot of that same language that my friend Rashawn was telling me about in prison. So my eyes started to get opened up to it. But then I read a book by Michelle Alexander that Sean suggested that I read, called The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. And when I read the data coupled with my experience, my eyes were like completely open, because, you know, one of the things Rashawn told me is like, how can you say that Trump's for the Black community when he takes out a full page ad calling for the death penalty of the five Black teenagers in New York City who were exonerated by DNA, and he still didn't apologize. So all these years we would justify, you know, well, Trump just has some mean tweets, but we need to get over that, quit being so sensitive. But you start hearing the language and the rhetoric that he's using, calling, you know, immigrants the vermin that of our country, and that they're poisoning the blood of our country, and telling a United States Congresswoman to go back to her shithole country, excuse my language, even calling John McCain a POW, who was a great Republican, a loser, and basically saying, you know, losers don't get captured, or, you know, or winners don't get captured. And so, like, you start to see that, like, okay, you know, character matters. Like, if I want to say that I'm really a good person and I care about integrity and I care about, you know, people's actions behind the words that they say, then you look at the things that Trump was saying and doing, and it just didn't line up. There's no way I can reconcile this stuff. There's no way I could continue to make excuses for a lot of the behavior that you see, on top of the fact that, like, his policy literally wasn't even helping me or Americans. But there was no way that I could sit here and continue to justify the actions and the behavior of Trump, him going on, you know, what was it, Fox News, saying that when you're a star, you can grab women by the, you know what? It's like, at what point do you say, okay, enough is enough? And it's still in 2025, and it still hasn't stopped. If you look at his Memorial Day post, what he just posted, calling, you know, Americans scum, you know? So that's what really started to open my eyes, and you could see the cracks that, like, Trump was in this for himself. Like, he did not care who he stepped on, who he hurt along the way, what lie that he had to tell, as long as he could continue to further, you know, his empire, his narrative, and his personal agenda.
You know, a lot of the videos we've done, Danny, we've done with Maya's Touch Network, and our testimonials, which people can read at leavingmaga.org. One of the, to use a literary term here, one of the leitmotifs throughout all these testimonials is people's epiphanies occur gradually and then suddenly all at once, to paraphrase the late venerable American writer Ernest Hemingway. It's what happened with me. It's what happened with the others whom we who have had the courage to come forward and tell their stories with us. And I hear it in your story as well.
Yeah. What?
That it just gets to not justify the unjustifiable anymore.
Yeah. Once you see the truth, you can never unsee it, I feel like.
And, go ahead.
And that, yeah, once you see the truth, you can never unsee the truth. And I believe that was my experience, was that I saw, once I read the data and I coupled it with my experience, and it just wasn't aligning with what everything Trump was saying. Like, the facts and the data, you know, just if you're doing real research and not just listening to what everybody tells you you're supposed to believe. And I think that was one thing, being a Christian my whole life and being raised in a Christian community, it's kind of like this blind allegiance or this blind faith where you don't really question it. It's just that because the Bible told me so. And I think the same is true for Trump. Well, it's just because Trump told me so. And when you get to a place where you stop believing, you know, the experts, the journalists, the scientists, the doctors, and you can only believe Trump, that's a super dangerous place to be.
You know, you mentioned a few times community, and I caught, and I'm not saying that, I'm not putting words in your mouth, Danny, just to be clear. You know, I caution others when they look at MAGA and say, it's a cult, it's a cult, it's a cult. And I say, no, it is really more of a political community. And I implore people not to refer to it as a cult, because I feel like calling people in MAGA cultists, it makes it harder for them to eventually leave. And it's going to make it more difficult to empower them to, when they start to have doubt, which I believe many will, to finally say, I'm leaving. Talk a little bit about the media you were consuming while in MAGA. You know, who were the, what were the news sources, info sources? Who were the influencers who you were listening to on a day-to-day?
Sean Hannity at that time, Fox News, of course, Tucker Carlson, even Candace Owens. You know, I love to tokenize Candace Owens, especially with a lot of the Black people that I was talking to. Like, this is who you need to listen to and be like. But that's mainly where I was getting my information from. It was all, you know, right-wing sources. And I think you're right in the fact that, like, I would double down when I felt like I was being attacked. So when people were coming at me, calling me racist or xenophobic or misogynistic or homophobic or transphobic, I would get offended. And when people, oh, you're in a cult, I would double down on it. And I would want to debate and fight back. And I believe that's where a lot of my own fragility was. But at that time, like, I became so offended by some of the things that people were saying. But like you said, it's about community, right? It's about feeling like you're a part of a brotherhood and feeling like your voice is being heard. And Trump did speak to that in a lot of people, even though we know it's in a bad way now. But at that time, it just felt like, okay, I got a place where I can call home. And then when people are coming at you, you know, telling you, you know, saying these things about you that you don't want to hear, it does make it hard to want to leave. But even when I did finally leave and I got to that point, it was a really hard place for me to be because, okay, now I'm no longer aligning with people in MAGA and people on the right, but I didn't have a safe place to go because people on the left were still skeptical of me. They were justifiably so, right? They're like, is this guy for real? Or is he, you know, or is he just trying to grift? Or is he trying to, you know, take advantage of us? Or, you know, has he really done the work to change? And I think that was something that I received from the left a lot too, is that people on the left were like, well, we don't want you back. You know, like you're the reason why we're in this mess. Like you contributed to this. So it was a very lonely place for, you know, roughly about 6 months to a year where I just felt like I was on an island and I didn't have anybody that I could communicate with, anybody that I could talk to and find a place that where I could connect with people in meaningful ways and feel like, okay, that this was a safe place for me to continue to try to learn and grow. Because you got to also figure too, I was incarcerated. So when I came out of prison, like, I didn't know a lot of the terminology. I didn't know things, you know, like about pronouns. I didn't know about, you know, the LGBTQIA plus community. I hadn't been exposed to social media. So when I came home, you know, the advent of social media helped me grow exponentially because social media, I was getting information, you know, 24/7 from, you know, a plethora of different places. There was a whole wealth of information that allowed me to grow. And I believe growth for people is going to be directly proportional to the amount of work that they put in or the amount of information that they take in that's correct information. And so I tried to read as many books as I could from different perspectives that I typically wouldn't. And I started listening to content from content creators, from people that I typically wouldn't. You know, a big one for me when I first came home was Jolly Good Ginger. And you know, I could identify with his story and I could identify with the things that he was saying. And I was like, I get him. Like, I understand exactly what he's saying. And he was raised the way I was raised. He was taught the information that I was taught. So he was the one who initially started to help me deconstruct. Then, of course, I started seeing things like Midas Touch Network and, you know, Walter Masterson. And there's, you know, a bunch of other creators as well as Conscious Lee. You know, I started listening to a lot of Black creators, too, because they're world experience and lived experience was a lot different than anything that I had ever been exposed and taught. But I think that's the big thing you see with MAGA and people who are on the right is that they're in their echo chamber and their bubble. The only thing that's playing is Fox News. It's, you know, the Charlie Kirks, the Tucker Carlsons and the Sean Hannitys. And that's the only place that they're getting their information. And that can be super dangerous.
Many of the same figures I was consuming also and listening to their content. And I say this a lot in my interviews, Danny, that as simple as it sounds, it was profoundly life-changing and altering for me when I started diversifying my news and information sources. Mm-hmm. And it's really remarkable how gained knowledge and experience opens the aperture for someone and makes them more empathetic and more attuned to injustice. And clearly that transformation happened with you, and you should be credited for the bravery that it takes to do that. So as we come to a close here, I want to ask you to share with our viewers, why speak out and go public? You've got a pretty big TikTok presence. So I'm going to ask you to tell us where we can find you. And why speak out now and tell this story? What is it that you're hoping to gain and achieve by speaking out?
So I think the whole point of doing this work, right, is to ultimately change hearts and minds. Like, if we're not in it for that, then what's the point? The biggest reason why I wanted to speak out was because I know my experience that when I first made this transformation was that there weren't a whole lot of people on the other side that wanted to welcome me in with arms wide open and, you know, kind of hold my hand on this journey. There were a handful, and I'm super grateful for them because they're the ones that helped me, you know, get through this process. So, like, I want to be able to be that person for somebody else on the other side. And we have to be willing to face for growth for people. And I think it's easier for a white straight man who's already been through this, that's been on the other side of it, who's had that mindset, who understands that mindset, to really reach people that are still in that mindset. So, you know, I think that a lot of the politics of white supremacy, it's up to white people to dismantle it, right? It's up to us to do the work, and our voices needed now more than ever. to reach a lot of these people in our community. I have access to people that most people won't have access to. Most of my family, most of my community, most of the people I grew up with, they're all MAGA still. So if I'm interacting with these people already, then why not build relationships with them or continue the relationships that I have with them, but use it as an opportunity to educate them, to help change their minds and their hearts, and be the voice of reason. You know, I don't let stuff slide. You know, I'm consistent with the messaging. So if somebody is saying something that's inappropriate or that it's not true, I check them because I believe that they need to be checked. But I do it in a way, I try to do it in a way that's loving and where it's, you know, palatable, where people can digest it. And I'm not condescending or belittling, because, you know, I was so grateful that people held space for me to change, that I want to be able to hold that space for other people. Because if we truly want unity, like we say, if we really want people to leave MAGA and get out of this mindset, then we have to be the ones that create the bridges to get them out and give them a safe place to go and a place where they feel welcome and connected and have the opportunity to really make a meaningful change.
Oh man, I'm into that. That's what we found in Leaving MAGA for, is a new community for people who leave, people who have doubts, and friends and family who are still in the thrall of MAGA. And where can viewers find you? I know that you've got a very sizable TikTok following. What's the handle people can find you at?
So Danny F. Collins on TikTok and Danny F. Collins on Instagram, on both platforms. And then Daniel Collins on Facebook. But Danny F. Collins, TikTok, Danny F. Collins on Instagram.
You're an intrepid young man, and I want to welcome you, Danny, to the Leaving MAGA community. I also want to welcome you to the Midas Touch Network community, as well as one of the Midas Mighty. And we like to end every show on a positive affirmation, and I'd like for you to join me if you would. I'm Rich, and I left MAGA.
And I'm Danny, and I left MAGA.
Hey, everyone, if you like this video, make sure you drop a comment down below and subscribe. Also, please visit us at leavingmaga.org. Make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter. Make sure you're getting all of our updates and our socials. At our site, we've got an ebook and we have a guide for friends and family of those who are in the MAGA community. As always, appreciate your support. Thanks for watching.
Love this video? Continue the conversation by following us on Instagram @MidasTouch and help us blow past 1 million followers.